The kid is a L7 Weenie.
Yeah, Oscar Mayer even.
Footlong, Dodger Dog, a Weenie!
You've got your secret little appetite. Come out.
What was that?
As I was saying, Adam's under the impression that the podcast, The American Journal of Losers, I'm Jay Benersky, we're starting right away. Adam's under the impression that the podcast is not a product in itself, but is a tool to promote our stand-up. And yet, in over 50 hours of content, we've mentioned doing stand-up comedy, what do you want to say, three times?
Yeah, three or four times.
It happens. Mm-hmm. We do it.
You're never promoting. You're never putting
your heat. But also, it's like you don't mention, like, you know, blinking or taking breaths. These things we just do so naturally and compulsively.
Right. It is compulsive. It is something that
the parasympathetic nervous reaction that we have.
We do think we have to keep doing it, but truthfully, we could continue to live our lives and never touch a microphone again.
I don't know.
I thought it was evident we did a lot of stand-up, given how much Cosmo talks about the difference between black people and white people.
Yeah, I didn't learn that just living not commenting upon things.
I mean, I don't even like stand-up comedy. I just have to know who is on the apps. And I need to ask that to as many bars full of people as I possibly can.
Turns out it's about most of the people. But
people are on the apps.
Seems like plenty of them.
Yeah,
are.
Candy Crush. Yeah. Bloons, yeah. Tower Defense. They must have amplified that one, right? Oh boy. Am I weirdly showing my age by only referencing Flash games?
No, I had an iPod Touch. I played Bloons Tower Defense.
You could play on iPod Touches. You could play games.
Oh, probably.
That was the whole thing. So the iPod Touch.
I thought you could just listen to Fort Minor.
Well, there was a lot of that going on. That was sort of their main function.
I feel like if people heard the references that I use, especially on this podcast, because I'm using a lot of references that I know Adam will get. I'm kind of trying to look cool in front of Adam.
I know Bloon Tower Defense, no, brother. We're the same age. There's a bigger difference.
No, but I'm saying I kind of talk more about the Web 1.0 era in front of Adam, because I know he's not going to know any references from the last 15 years.
I mean, that's a good bet, and I won't know any from the next 15 years.
But the 15 after that, you're going to get plugged in.
Mr. Magooing my way through life fucking rules.
Yeah, dude.
He had just no sight, no, no hearing. Just
bridges appearing before me as I walk over a crevasse.
This could be a good theme for the next year of your life. As some listeners might know, I recently had a birthday and I've decided on a theme for myself.
I think we decided on a theme for yourself.
are you guys taking credit for...
Okay. All right. It was your birthday. I mean, mine's in a couple of weeks, but
yeah.
The theme for 26: Joey goes bananas.
He's
trying to make this work so much, man. So hard, man.
So I just want. I mean, keep listening to the podcast, because this year I'm going to be going bananas.
Mm-hmm.
And if you catch me slipping on a banana peel, if in a couple of months, check in on me and be like, "Hey, Joey, are you still going bananas?"
What if after 12 years I have my first manic episode again and just overshadow your bananas?
Oh yeah, dude. You think you know what bananas feels like?
I'm still kind of trying to work out the what exactly it means to go bananas.
You know when you see it, though.
Yeah, it's like pornography in that way.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like pornography in a lot of ways.
I think I'm going to be viewing and experiencing more pornography this year.
If Joey started making pornography this year, I'd be like, well, he's gone bananas.
Dude, I mean, if the OnlyFans blows up, I will promo the pod. Cross promotion.
Is it a Gaper page?
I mean, you work with what you got.
For the premium subscribers.
If it isn't, what am I putting in these overtime hours for?
They call those Gaper views, actually.
I think the podcast should probably make an OnlyFans. I think that would be.
I've always thought, I think it'd be funny to make like a Tinder account for the three of us and be like, hey, we're a podcast, but we'll go on a date with you, all three of us.
Oh, interesting. And you have to put your hand in the middle and let the three of us hold it, and we'll do like a go team.
We should do like a bachelorette style game, just us three compete for the love of one woman.
No, we do have a we do have a live show coming up. We can, I can pack a single rose.
I don't think I've mentioned the dating game I was on the podcast.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. It's how you met your wife, as I recall.
Beautiful.
Could have been.
I had a dream, Cosmo. I had a dream where you had a wife. I wish I could remember any detail.
Your act would have doubled.
Tell me.
Your
act. Tell me she was beautiful.
She was a good looking lady. I had a name for her. It was Angie, which is a kind of an older name.
I wanted a name of an Angie. Didn't that work out?
Well, maybe she's the one. Damn. No, it was a weird
call.
It was a weird dream. It was Adam was gone and you and I were trying to podcast.
That is weird. Gone what?
No. Gone.
Mission?
Nanas? Nanners?
Nanners? Adam's gone and I have a wife. But did my wife look suspiciously like Adam in a blonde wig?
Yeah,
it's really the same. It's another A name.
No, but she interrupted our podcasting time to play a song for me.
Well, that simply won't work.
So yeah,
this is like a Yoko kind of thing that you were envisioning. Her breaking up. Was I gone because I hated her?
Did I make a scene yelling at her on mic?
That would be crazy if I dreamed that about you. I'm sure it's happening behind the scenes, but it's not my vision.
I told you when I'm working, not I've still made $0 off of this.
God, dude, what I didn't realize living with roommates again is what if you guys have like skeletons in your closet and I have to find out about it? You're on a phone call and you're like, that time I killed a dude and.
No, it's gonna be. I'm gonna be screaming at my mom on the phone.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
You're always yelling at her to bring in snacks.
I know, dude.
She lives in a different
city. I go, Mom, we're thirsty.
Mom, go puff, go puff.
Yeah, I make my mom order expensive deliverable chips.
Well. Joey.
Hello.
Wait, well, listeners.
Have you liked what you heard so far?
You guys.
We got a switcheroo afoot.
No.
That's not how we start. We start. This is the American Journal of Losers.
Yeah. Cha-cha-cha.
A podcast by losers for losers, often about losers.
Adam, I haven't heard you say the premise of the podcast in a calendar year.
Well, guys, we're scrambling at this moment.
Well, I'm so happy because it's just, I literally can't remember the last time. I'm usually the one that's coming in and telling people this is a podcast about losers.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm Adam McShane. I always mention that.
You also actually often forget to mention your name. I'm Joey Benarski, though.
And I'm also Joey Benarski.
Everything's topsy-turvy this week.
Two Joeys?
That's right. Cosmo.
Which do I shoot?
That's right. Cosmo legally changed his name.
And face. I got my Joey suit on. And I'm going to commit a little bit of crime. How we do it, fellas?
Mostly Hamburglary.
That's double jeopardy. You cannot convict me on Hamburglary.
Yeah.
Because I have already been convicted.
Damn it. Yeah. Oh, you're convicted already.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Is that how it works?
Yeah, you stole a mayor's head.
What kind of time you serve for Hamburglary?
You got to do time in the... What's that? It was a Big Mac with the police officer, right?
I think he's like an Irish. I just think it's an Irish guy.
An Irish guy.
I don't think
guy.
He's food. I literally think it's just an Irish man.
So they had a hamburger head mare. Mm-hmm. They had a clown. They had a bird that flies a plane. They had a purple monster, and they had a Mick.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that's right.
He's an Irish man.
Maybe. Yeah, God damn it! I don't want to.
We've lost him.
I don't want to be wrong publicly,
dude. If you are
this
wrong
is
about
what you're worried about being wrong,
well, I've been right about everything else.
Yeah, you're taking no risk on this podcast until you started talking McDonald Land. Now you know. Now you know the McFreaks will come after you.
What race do you think the purple guy is?
Like what human race?
Yeah, yeah,
do you
yeah.
want us to just sort of make throw someone under the bus here?
Uh-huh.
Throw someone under the bus. What type of men are grimaces?
What type of man makes you grimace?
Yeah, I don't think we want to answer that, but our podcast will be answering other questions, such as...
Who are you? Why are you?
Where have we been? Sorry about that.
Yeah, we were having too much fun on the beach, making piles of money.
Literally, it is true that we missed a week of podcasting because we were having too much summer fun.
Our life has gotten so good while yours has gotten so bad.
And there was never a better time than to take a little summer break than after the 50th episode of this podcast. Yeah, yet, we persevered. To no end. Really for no real purpose.
AJL gone fishing, folks.
I really think living in a little enclosed space by yourself really motivates you. I have no motivation anymore. I really couldn't give a fuck about this podcast, about the listeners, about the fact that they know I own Well, when the mail eight guns. I don't care. I'll spout out my address. I don't give a shit.
Okay. Well, I don't like that.
We got a balcony. Climb up it. We rarely lock that door.
Yeah,
the handle's broken.
I walked right on in. I didn't know if you guys knew I was coming or what, but I've yet to encounter this apartment being locked.
Yeah,
I love broadcasting this on air. I love that.
We have an open door policy.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone wants to come into my bed and shoot me, it's an open door policy.
And then you get to be Cosmo and marry his beautiful wife, Angie, who's always interrupting us.
After you shoot,
just send a text.
I'll let you know if I see her. My memory of her is fuzzy, but I have a general. I have a general.
Get out of scratch.
Can you draw her?
I hate to say this, but I have a race and body type for her.
I love the idea that you draw me a picture of her and I'm running through the streets trying to match it to women.
Posting it on lampposts.
Yeah. Have you seen this woman?
Well, after you shoot Cosmo, I want someone to climb into my bed and just spoon me. I'll be your alibi.
Same
if
guy?
I get some spoon.
Wow.
If I get some spoon,
you'll spoon my murder. Huh?
Uh-huh.
How could he have shot Cosmo? He snuck into my house and spooned me all night long.
Wow.
I don't know. I need
or
the oxytocin
she,
hit.
Or you
know?
She or they.
Oh, I'd be so lucky.
You would love it. You would love it if a she or they one of those blue haired she they snuck into your house.
You know I want that.
Ooh,
more than anything.
From the Ronald McDonald gang. Blue hair. We need a new term for actual blue hair and gray people when we're being offensive.
Gray people.
Gray people. I thought you were looking sort of into a post-racial future where, you know, eventually we're all the same sort of
it's
color.
Smudgy, dull
Adam is
gray.
Trying to come up with. What if it's ugly?
Yeah,
it's that's one thing that we never considered.
It's probably
the one race is just hideous.
Yeah, the one race does not look good.
We started as one race and then we got rid of. We got away from it because it was so gross. And then we come back and we're like, oh yeah, let's get away again. Let's all be different.
Wow.
I'm sort of what be a beautiful. I'm saying
what
be
a
different.
Beautiful understanding of what happened.
I'm saying be different and do a funny voice. Live your lives.
Gary, have you stayed?
Beautiful. Do you have a question for me, Adam?
Joey. Who's the fucking loser?
All right, we're doing a... sorry, hey.
Who is the loser?
Actually, the real reason we didn't record last week is because my voice sounded like I was dead.
Yeah, you
for
did.
For an entire week, and it's still maybe not fully back. It's
horse.
Fine. It was horse. I was horse for so long that my thoughts were starting. Yeah.
Become horse-like.
I found that like my internal voice was like, well, you better go pick up some more.
No.
I was like, I just was so used to sounding like that.
The crypt keeper awoke inside of
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I was making a lot of puns about skeletons.
You sounded like that guy in Breaking Bad you pointed out. You really did?
I sounded like after the first day, I sounded like Badger from Breaking Bad. And I already kind of look like Badger from Breaking Bad, so it wasn't helping.
I never really noticed that until you said it, and now that's how I view you.
He was a
and I kind of look like Skinny Pete.
Yeah. You wish, yeah. Buddy. That's your ideal body, though.
Ideal piano hands.
Your ideal. That's right. You're so good at piano.
You're really good at piano.
That's like a pretty good show, Breaking Bad.
Yeah, let's get into that. Let's.
Anyways, this week's loser is the dinner party.
The dinner party.
The dinner party.
The concept? Is that a party?
Oh, I'm sorry. The Donner party.
Hey,
the Donner party.
This was my last guess, I think.
I think it's been brought up on the most recent episode. The
Hungry, Hungry Hikers.
Yeah, what are your guys' go-to road snacks?
My niece and nephew.
For me, I'm a salted nut roll kind of guy. Give me a salted nut roll and a white Gatorade.
A white Gatorade.
I'm ready.
You little freak.
I'm ready to gross out everyone I'm in the car with.
Three flavor?
It's cherry.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, okay.
Doesn't get your mouth all blue, you know? I kind of like it.
Oh, you want the blue?
I'm a white cheddar Cheez-It guy.
Oh, those rip.
Don't they? Or the four cheese, honestly.
Four cheese
good too.
The duos. They're doing some great things at the Cheez-It plant.
The Cheez-It people. They're doing duos with the Cheez-Its, and then there's a caramel corn in there.
What?
These people are insane. Don't do anything.
What?
It's great.
Matt, drunk with power.
I have to write that down.
Yeah. Wow. It's wonderful. A caramel corn and a Cheez-It? Are you fucking kidding me?
That sounds incredible.
A Chicago mix, but get that cheesy popcorn, put in that cheesy it.
Wow.
I know.
Well, Joe, you know, come on, don't make me ask again. Don't make us beg.
You guys know about the Donner Party.
Yeah.
Though.
Oh yeah.
We asked already. The Donner Party.
The Donner Party. A well-known tale of the horrors of westward expansion.
I don't know the tale.
You don't know.
I genuinely don't know much. I know they.
What you got? What you got in that brain of yours? Dig it all up.
They ate each other out of, I thought, necessity.
Could have been bored. Could have been boredom.
Jumped the gun.
I think my
understanding. A prank gone wrong.
My understanding is that they left. It takes like months to do this trip, and they left
too late in the year.
Too late in the year, and they got hit by the winter when they, which was like a death sentence.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right, thanks so much for listening. There,
finally, I got one.
Yes. Hey, everyone knows if Adam or Cosmo get the story exactly right at the beginning, I don't have to tell it.
Thank God. So this family proved that you got to respect the seasons, and that is why I'm saying let's quit the podcast for the summer.
It is a death sentence.
I know.
We stop doing it all summer long.
I was trying to be fun. I want to be on air as being anti-AJL.
We missed 1 week, and you're feeling this right now. imagine a summer.
We had 1 week where we didn't put out an episode where I was just like, guys, fuck it. Let's play beach volleyball instead of record. Literally what happened.
Yeah, that is.
And you had too much fun. We clearly saw you have to have responsibilities in your life, else you shout until you lose your voice.
That's so true.
It was a big week for your voice, for the volume of your voice.
I never let myself recover. I just had a bad voice the whole time.
Well, we didn't talk about how you first lost your voice.
How did I first?
The murder mystery.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yes.
We did a lot of things. Cosmo, Cosmo wrote me the part of shouting. Guys, I recall. Yeah.
Well, oh, really?
I think I kind of feel like that might have been how you were going to play whatever part. But
Cosmo actually wrote a character. Cosmo wrote a murder mystery, which, first of all, insane. No work for the podcast, but he'll write a whole fucking murder mystery.
I'm going to say probably the 10th I've written in my life, too.
And he wrote me the role. I was playing his son, and he very explicitly made sure that I knew how much I respected my father.
I wrote in that he thought I had high tea.
Honestly, acting challenge of my life.
No, you saw it. My tea was seeming.
Well, you were acting high tea, but you could tell you were acting high tea.
My character,
most are.
My character.
I could smell your lack of tea on you.
Yeah, a Sigma can sense an Alpha from a mile away.
Dude, I am a Sigma.
It did very much. Feel like this is how you felt about us. You wrote my character to be this win at all costs cutthroat psychopath.
Yeah.
I literally didn't realize you were playing a character that night. It just occurred to me that wasn't Adam McShane.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. That's how good of a job you did.
You guys know you could. I have feelings, right?
Yeah,
I monetize
you have,
them.
You have urges. I don't know if you have feelings.
Yeah, I think urges. I think like how a sloth knows it wants to eat a leaf. I don't think that's a feeling. That was insulting.
So when I've been saying I'm feeling like making honking noises at beautiful people walking by, that's not a feeling.
No, that's
I feel,
that's
but I say I
maybe
feel
compulsion.
Like.
That's a,
but I say I feel like first.
Well, that's just the language. You
I feel
up
like
in.
Shouting at my parents. That's not
that's not an
that
emotion?
Not what emotions are.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Emotions are anger plus volume.
Can I tell you about my fucked up little cousin?
Dude, okay. I've been waiting. I got a bib on. I'm so ready to hear about this.
All right. So I'm at like a family thing, right? I'm at a family thing, and I have like a little girl cousin. She's 8 years old. Fun,
whatever.
Little,
you're about to
playful
call an
child.
A psychopath?
Yes. And so when people, she's kind of, there's a lot of shit talking. It's fun to like tease the kid, you know, whatever. My uncle wrestles and talks shit to her. It's fun. But behind closed doors, like the parents, it was just me and my other brother, and she's like, you two are the stupidest people in the world. She's like, you're dumb and you're the dumbest. And she goes, you two are weird. I would kill you if I could. Jesus
Christ. To you and Blake?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Like, or being Carter. And she was like, I'm going to kill you.
Is she available to co-host a podcast?
Maybe? It does sound fun, but
do they make guns for kids yet? Because I'm trying to pass that bill.
She literally, like, it's, I don't, how do you respond to that? So I just play along. I'm like, I'm so much bigger. You can't, you know. I'm like, I would
never be bigger.
You play along by responding to the threat.
I play along a little too adult. I'm like, I'm 34. I would waste you. So I do say that to her. It doesn't help the situation.
Oh,
but
dude, you're gonna be like 60, and she's gonna be young and spry and at your door.
Also, at a celebration for life for my grandfather, you know those little butter squares. I did convince her to eat one, but she liked it. At the end, she was like, didn't act tricked.
Yeah, butter's amazing.
I was like, maybe don't do that again.
Oh, that kind of backfired on you.
No, I was
shoot. This is the long game because long game. She's going to be too unhealthy as an adult.
Yeah, but then you have like
take down elderly Adam.
I feel like there's a lot of CrossFit gym guys that put a whole stick in their coffee. So I'm like, who the fuck knows? Maybe she's...
Well, you're definitely going to be killed by this girl.
Yeah, that's no true.
Yeah, I mean, you've signed your destiny on that.
I got to start poisoning her now, making her weak and feeble.
Yeah, just a little bit every year.
Honestly, if we have any 8-year-old listeners, that's the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard a kid do. That's so bad. Please just threaten to kill your uncle, just like when no one's around, because who's going to believe them?
I would love to actually be murdered by like someone who had a lifelong vendetta against me, who's been like in the background preparing all this time.
I also, according to my sister-in-law, I might have to bleep this just because it can't be out there in the world, but she said behind closed doors once, the 8-year-old, that...
Oh my God, like, dude!
Christ.
She is what is she? What do we think about this?
Terrifying. Yes,
I've never
scary.
Loved her. Does she act like freaky when she's she
runs around and is a little kid?
She doesn't stand inside an opening and elevator. That
no, it's more versions. It's more like single child stuff of like carry me up the hill and then just annoy you till you do or whatever.
Wow,
she's gonna be so fun at parties. Mm-hmm. Like yeah, 10 years from now, dude.
She would. I definitely would have been when I was 8. She would have been beating me up. That's for sure.
Oh yeah. I think we all would. If we met on equal terms on the playing ground, I think we'd all be beating the shit out of Cosmo.
Oh, you wish, dude. But I would, dude. Best shape of my life. 8 years old. I'd fucking kick your ass, bro.
Anyways, these Donners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lay it on me thick.
These freaking dudes. So the Donner Party. This is when that whole Manifest Destiny narrative was being peddled a lot. And there's actually some reasons behind that. People kept being like, we gotta manifest our destiny and go west, not just because of the racism and everything. It was also like a calculated ploy to get more people in California so that Mexico couldn't continue to have California. Because this actually takes place right around the Mexican-American War.
I love what it would say. It's empty, but it's ours, damn it. It's like, can they hang out there? It's like, no.
It's our destiny, but you do have to work really hard to get it, so you know.
You will have to eat your loved ones and like boil your shoes.
Look, if you want to move to Fresno, you're going to have to eat your kid, okay?
Hey, man, going west, living in L.A. takes a lot, all right?
Look. Everyone in Oxnard is eating their uncle. It's not a big deal. I could name a couple more California cities.
Let's. Okay. So am I to understand that it's not just a family, right? It's a lot of folks.
It's a lot of folks. The Donners are the primary family. So there's George Donner. He's a farmer from North Carolina who kind of just spends his whole life gradually moving west. Like the whole time.
Okay.
Until age 60 is when he hits the road here.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
How long was the trip? Any idea?
So they would be leaving in April and the goal was to get there before the snow fell.
Okay.
So that's that's 4 months. I mean, who can know for sure? But
no
but
one really. And that's sort of the majesty of these trails is that no one really knew how long months are apart from each other.
Boy, they should have left as soon as the snow melted, maybe.
And like, that was the common knowledge. So these were the emigrant trails. You've heard of the Oregon Trail. But there were a bunch of other ones, too. There's the California Trail and the Mormon Trail.
They should have taken that one.
The Santa Fe Trail. The California Trail?
Yeah.
They did take the California Trail. We'll get to what happened. So think about these trails. There were more suggestions than, like...
I see.
There wasn't, like...
Yeah.
Every mile marker, you know.
There weren't state parks, people whacking weeds for you to walk through.
There were no giant dinosaurs for you to take, like, little roadside attractions at. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was tough going, and something you don't think about often. These motherfuckers were walking most of the way.
You don't know what I think about.
He thinks about walking a lot.
Did they have like a horse to carry supplies, and then they walk?
They would have wagons carried by oxen.
Damn.
And but like you don't want to be sitting in the damn car weighing down your little cow, you know?
You know where moxie comes from?
From oxen?
Oxen and then men. Men oxen.
Men
moxie. That's a thought. It's a theory. It's a theory that I have.
Oh, so you just came up with that?
Yeah.
God damn it, dude.
Of course you just came up with
that. Is this how misinformation is spread?
Oh, you just came up with that? How did you just come up with that? Is it by doing simple word association that seems to be all you do on the podcast?
I'm a salesman, baby.
Well, it didn't seem like connected enough to be to not be a fact he knew.
Yeah, you seem to start doing a workshopping on the word oxen pretty quickly. Yeah. I was like, what sort of other words sound like ox?
Fun. So they're really kicking rocks this whole time, huh?
Yeah. I mean,
I just simply would not move. What's so wrong with the East Coast?
That seems to be the moral of the story. For the takeaway for some of the people was we probably just should have stayed out east. Because this is 20 years before the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad. So frankly, you could have waited.
If I had to, I couldn't walk across the continent, dude. Like, that's insane.
Well, this is before they had such a fatty diet. A 60-year-old man could walk across the state of Kansas. Yeah. The thing is, like, I do think I could make it. I could make it to where the Donners made it, and then I would fuck up equally. that's my take.
Which was the Rockies?
The Sierra Nevada is where they
Okay.
That's pretty far, though.
They get so close, guys. They get so close.
Damn.
All right. Let me start from the beginning here. Okay. So the Donners are living in Springfield, Illinois. Let me get the full outline of the because the Donner family itself is pretty large. It is 6-year-old George Donner, his wife, Tamsin, 44.
Tamsin.
Is that problematic?
Depends when they met.
Well, he'd been through a couple of wives already.
Oh, nice.
He had a couple wives to his name.
Been through a couple.
I mean, if two age appropriate relationships failed, like, what do you suppose? You try something different.
Go younger, dude.
Probably not a lot of 60-year-old people at all.
No,
that's true. Maybe it's seen as like a wow. Look at this ancient wise tome of a man.
So they together have 5 daughters. Two of them are from a previous marriage.
5 daughters.
They're also joined by George's brother. I wrote down George as his brother's name, and that's not true.
No, probably not. That's not a George Foreman situation.
No, yeah, they're all named George Donner.
Yeah.
It was Jason. 56, and he and his wife have 7 kids. So that's 16 family members accompanied by 5 Teamsters.
Hey, that's good eating. That's good eating.
I'm getting hungry just thinking about it.
Yeah.
What's a Teamster? I've never really known.
So Teamsters, those we use it now, are truck drivers.
Okay.
But back then, they were truck drivers.
Yeah,
they just drove the way.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so everyone else is walking.
Why did that confuse me so much?
I don't know.
What were they driving? Trucks made of rocks?
Like Flintstones? Yeah. What were they doing? I don't understand. That's the Donner family. So this party is sometimes also called the Donner-Reed party because of the Reed family that would accompany them. This is an important part of the story, but I understand why Reed often gets pushed into the background here. Reed is an Irishman. He also comes with his rather large family, and the two families are like both leaving from Springfield, Illinois, going out to the beginning of the Oregon Trail, which is in Missouri.
And did they meet like on this? Or
I think it was just like, hey, words around. There's a couple people from Springfield who are gonna be going out.
I see. Okay.
So yeah. And also, fun little fact here, Abe Lincoln, ever heard of that guy? Considered going on the same trip as the Donners and the Reeds.
What year is this?
1846.
How long did he consider this?
I mean, I think it was just like
30 seconds.
He would have been living in Springfield at the time, and just like as a rumor, it was like, you know, President Lincoln almost went on the trip that was the Donner Party. Which I think in the 19th century was just the equivalent of like,
Seth,
you
know, McFarland was almost on the 9/11 plane. No Family Guy or the Emancipation Proclamation.
Mark Wahlberg's like, I tell you what, if I was in that wagon train, would have gone down like that.
If I had to eat my children. When it got down like that.
Yeah, 1800 Steve Renazzisi went on a podcast. He actually ate a lot of the kids at the Donner Party. And it's what inspired him to become a stand-up
to
comic.
To promote 18, the Legionnaire. I don't know what that's old. I don't know what time this is.
Yeah, just a fun little fact. So these two families go down to Independence, Missouri, which is like the official start of these trails, right?
A big checkered flag.
I feel like you're already like 10 hours in at this point, though, and you're like, oh, it hasn't started?
Oh, it took them weeks to get from Springfield to Independence.
It hasn't even started yet?
Yeah, they're not even like on the trail.
I feel like you get to the start, have a winter, you know?
Yeah.
Get a couple last stups in that aren't blood related. You know what I mean?
Damn it, sir.
You're allowed to bring a wife on this trip, notably.
Yeah, but not if you're a kid. Not if you're one of five horny daughters. Or is that an editorial? What I just
trying to figure out who you're imagining is on this trip that needs to get a shtup in.
Dude, how high would your tea be if you were walking across the whole country? It's so freaking high.
Is that what? Okay.
No, that I think your blood would be flowing so good.
Don't let this wannabe Joe Rogan convince you he knows about tea.
I know about tea.
I would, when I look at him, I trust him. Yeah. But,
yeah, I mean, if you guys have ever played the classic DOS game, Oregon Trail, you start out in Independence, Missouri. Yeah,
and I get bit by a rattlesnake day one. Don't even leave.
But it's your pet. They're like, why does this guy have a pet rattlesnake? Yeah,
I'm in the fucking Old West trying to do like an Alice Cooper thing.
Like an only lizard guy on the...
Yeah.
The lizard guy's actually the first to get eaten when they came to Donner Pass.
Yeah. Can I bring Meredith, my snake?
Okay, so as you guys have probably figured out, the goal is to leave after the spring rains have kind of got going. Because you want there to be grass for the ox to graze on.
Oh.
But you want to leave both early enough that you don't get stuck in snow, specifically the snow that happens in the Sierra Nevada mountain range.
So it seems like there's about, a 2-week window where you won't die horribly doing this?
Well, it's very weather dependent.
So also, do they know this because other parties died horribly in the Sierra Nevadas?
Well, certainly no one died as horribly as this party's about to die. They're king of dying in the Sierra Nevadas.
I hate colonization, but like, doesn't this country sound like it was designed so with such a perfect game in mind? Like, you got to start. Like, it's so well designed. You know what I mean? It's like the game.
That final level
the gameplay.
Really hard to beat, though. They found that out.
I mean, yeah, I died fording the river a couple times. Yeah. That's embarrassing. When they get to Independence, they meet up with about 50 other wagons on this trail. Because there's safety in numbers when you're going on these emigrant trails. And that is because there were these other people in the country that were trying to kill you if you came to their place and said, we live here
this
now.
This is ours, actually.
Yeah, actually, we live here now.
Yeah. Nice junk. This is actually mine, though. Nice stuff.
Traveling in these big bands, especially like early on in the trail, you're just going through fucking Kansas. You'll see the other guys, you know?
I think they're just waving from across. Like, it's like when truck drivers honk their horns.
You see people coming back, be like, California sucked. We didn't like it.
Yeah, terrible. Really bad. I had to eat my children.
Fake people, too.
Yeah. There's some social media obsessed.
So they head out on April 15th of 1846, which is a little late in the season, but it's not like crazy.
So it wasn't April like, showers.
It wasn't like they were like out of their minds for doing this.
I mean, you've been, you know what like March in the Midwest can be like. It can still be like very much winter.
But
you know?
I just don't know how long it is taking them to get there though, you know?
They leave from Independence on that day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, they get going, like, they get going the beginning of April from Springfield, and it does take a full 2 weeks to get down the Midwest and onto the trail. It just everything just takes so long. It's a whole year of your life.
That's so crazy.
It's just a bad way.
I've been on 3-hour car trips, and I'm just like, Jesus.
We also did spend a year inside. We know what sacrificing a year is like.
Yeah,
we did have it just as bad as them.
Yeah, I don't know, but I feel like I was in my room eating snacks.
But it goes quick ish.
When you're not being tortured by the elements,
I think it goes quicker when you're tortured by the elements.
I will say that Tamsin Donner was sort of the queen of writing letters back home that would turn out to be very ironic later, because she kept writing letters from like Kansas being like, this shit's easy as fuck.
Dude, I wish something cool would happen. Tanzen?
Tanzen, yeah.
So they just drop them in like a local town that they pass through and they get sent back?
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, there are places that will carry your post for you. Yeah.
Tanzen Donner is a super heavy metal name.
Yeah, Tanzen Donner is great. Okay. It's really good. First member of the Donner Reed party dies in Kansas.
Oh.
Crossing a river. She had tuberculosis, though.
Mm.
So across
carrying her around.
Did she get swept up by the river? No, or she died of tuberculosis in the middle of crossing the river.
There were just so many. It took so long to bring all of the wagons across the river that like fording a river was like multiple day events.
Oh my God.
So she died waiting to cross the river.
Why did they have to go?
This is the easy part of it, by the way.
She sounded like dead weight though, right? So they were like,
so did she get TB right after
she had TB, and they were like, maybe the fresh California air will cure her.
Well, that's not right.
But, well, it's so funny to be like, she needs fresh air.
She needs to die around her family. That's it.
Yeah, that's
what. Come die with us. We don't want to wait around.
Yeah, they were like, we thought she would die before it was time to go, but now it's time to go. Yeah. So we'll just bring her and let her die on the road.
Brutal.
Yeah. We haven't even got to the brutal part yet.
Chucked into that river.
Okay, so everything goes pretty well up until they preach Fort Laramie in Wyoming.
I love just having one person die. It's like, this trip's been going really good.
Yeah, well, they have one old lady die, yeah. And they make it all the way to July. They celebrate the 4th of July in Fort Laramie, Wyoming. And this is where they hear about this new shortcut, which sounds real promising. It's called the Hastings Cutoff.
I'm cutting through alleys.
I don't like cutoff.
Yeah.
That's a little...
Cutoff.
I love cutoffs. They're breezy in the summer. They look fashionable.
And these gams.
That's probably why they went for it. Uh-huh. They were like, I bet I could look good in those. And by the time they realized it was a shortcut, George Donner had to be like, no, I knew that. I knew that's what they meant.
He's got like Daisy Dukes on, being really defensive.
It's called the Lansford Cutoff, named after a guy. Oh, sorry, the Hastings Cutoff, named after a man named Lansford Hastings.
Lansford Hastings. Mm.
One of the most 19th century names I've ever heard. He was a lawyer and later a Confederate officer. Funny story about that. Who wrote a book called The Traveler's Guide to California and Oregon, where he came up with this new route.
So had he, but like, it feels like not many people have done this. Have a lot of people done this?
He, when he wrote about this route in this book, had not done it.
Oh, God. Oh
my God.
But
dude,
he was still...
I got some shortcuts around some cities if you want to listen to me.
But he was still paying people along this route, these roads, to be like, hey, this guy, Lansford, he's gonna take this cool new path through the Wasatch Mountains and across the Great Salt Lake Desert. It's going to save you 400 miles.
Oh, my God.
I get the temptation.
Well, yeah, 400 miles is so many.
Salt Lake and desert's a little ominous.
Yeah, but the idea that he was just like paying people off to promote this, just to, you know,
test it out.
Just to test it out, just to prove his point.
So did he have like some reason to think this or fully made up?
Just thought it would be cool if he...
we're talking about it. How many years later? Pretty cool.
All right.
His other legacy actually is he was a Confederate general in the Civil War, a couple decades later, who rode all the way out to Richmond, Virginia to pitch to Jefferson Davis, what if California was part of the Confederacy? And Jeff was like, I'll get back to you, buddy. Yeah. And then by the time he got back, the war was over.
He was like, that would be cool. Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude, what if we had cooler guns, too?
Yeah. Picturing lasers. Can we make that work?
What if Pennsylvania fell into the ocean? We'd win.
He's like desperately looking for a pen to write it all down. Look.
So the Donners and a group of 83 people are totally in on this plan. The majority of the party that they are initially traveling with is like, that's stupid. We're not taking an untested route.
Was it because for the 83 people, just two dads had to decide? Literally two dads getting together. Like, well.
So like it really was just a handful of family units. Because like I said, there were 21 people in the Donner family to begin with, right? The Reed family.
He says there was 50 carriages? At one point there was.
Yeah, they were traveling. Their initial party had 50 wagons in it. And now we have 83 people going off to this new scheme to go through the mountains, right? It's a lot of weird logistics things, but essentially Donner gets elected the captain, kind of, which just means he's the guy that's like, whoa, look out up there.
It just means he's the guy that's like not panicking. I know the trick to not panicking in a stressful situation.
Do you? Because I've not seen this.
No, when shit's really hectic, just don't care about other people that much. And then it really kind of calms your nerves. Like if someone chokes in a restaurant, just don't care about their life or well-being. And then you're the most calm guy there.
Eating your meal.
Yeah, you like take one more bite before getting up and being like, I guess I'll squeeze this guy for a while just to make people feel like we tried. You know?
Yeah, but we see you reaching for that guy's ass, and it's not helping.
Yeah, he's not even choking. You're just honking that tuchus.
He won't even feel it. He's got no oxygen.
Lord.
God damn it. So, yes, they get through these mountains pretty well. And they miss Lansford Hastings himself, who is going ahead of them by about a week.
Okay, so he's trying the same route?
Yes, but he's leaving behind notes for this crew that he knew might be showing up.
Oh, that's crazy. Little Easter eggs?
Little Easter eggs. And some of these notes are like...
I love it. Is it like director commentary? Where he's like, when I first came up with this route...
But they make it through the mountains okay. The mountains are not that big of a problem. Turns out, going around mountains, good plan. Easy one. Mm-hmm. That whole Great Salt Lake Desert thing.
Ooh, what about that?
So when they get there, they find a note that says, so you know, hey, stock up on water, guys. 3-day dry spell coming up ahead. 3 days, no water.
So is he doubling back like the guy that filmed that show? You know what I mean? Without a camera crew?
Is this like a Man vs. Wild thing?
Yeah.
Or no, Survivor Man.
Because without coming back, how does he know 3 days?
Yeah, it wasn't 3 days. It was more like 5 days.
You need a lot of water.
They ran out of water. Desert. They run out of water, and they end up losing 36 head of cattle in this desert.
Ooh. So this is, okay, I'm just to picture this. This was like a huge amount of people and canvases and livestock and like... This okay. This is a this
tents and
yeah, this eight, is like a parade going through like
monkeys.
There were 83 in this part.
Okay, yeah.
Ferris wheels.
Or actually 87.
But I guess
been joined
I wasn't
by
picturing
another.
How many animals.
Popcorn.
Caravan, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, multiple ox per
cotton
wagon.
Candy.
You know. Yeah. Well, not after this. Yeah. Oh, because what ends up happening? You just have to like
weird
consolidate
machines
the
that
wagon.
Talk about your fortune.
Yeah. So one of them was bringing their their personal Zoltan machine
right,
from
stop.
Home. Oh, we're going to have to leave my player piano in the desert. Not my prize pianola.
Ooh, that'd be spooky. Piano in the desert.
I would leave it playing.
Yeah.
I would leave that roll on in there and just let some vultures find it. So they get through this desert. They do end up having to leave one teamster behind. These teamsters are highly expendable,
behind.
As it turns out. Yeah, it is a guy named Hardcoop who...
just wouldn't wake up on time?
he was just like being too sluggish, and they're like, look, we're going to go ahead without you. Catch up if you can, and then...
He just couldn't walk fast enough?
Yeah.
Oh. You guys will never do that to me, right?
Not if it's the three of us, but there's 83 of us. I'm not stopping for you.
It depends on how sudsy the beers are where we're going.
Yeah. Adam heard there's a good hang, so he's going to need to die.
They get through this desert. It is September. They spend a lot of the month of September recuperating from this shortcut. So it ends up saving them no time.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it ends up costing them time because they have to spend so long literally just fixing their wagons, moving supplies. And they also would like cache a wagon, which is like the wagons weren't fucking cheap. So you would bury them in the ground and come back and then be like, well, maybe my ancestors will come. My descendants will come back for that.
Nuts.
I'm going to tell my kid where I buried this wagon so he can come out here one day.
Wow. That's crazy, dude.
It is crazy. Yeah, so...
So it's getting a little chilly.
A lot
September,
of September...
There's a nip in the air.
They are in Nevada at this point. Okay. So, here's the thing. Obviously, you're not getting a lot of snow in here. the Sierra Nevada, you're getting a hell of a lot of snow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that just because of the altitude?
The altitude, and it's also just the particular wind conditions, the Santa Ana winds or whatever.
Okay.
I'm not a weather
guy.
Is
that because, yeah, break that down to me. What's the Doppler radar say?
Well, it's like the reason why on one side of the Sierras is a fertile valley where a lot of shit can grow, and on the other side is the biggest desert in America.
Okay.
So something's going on.
There's big,
Something's going on up
I
top.
Have a hunch the mountains affecting this.
Yeah, the mountains are affecting. We're doing it. We're doing MCU talk again.
Yeah.
All right. So they're moving into this to the Sierra Nevada range. October is when they're finally getting into here. Oh, and there's this incident that happens in October, actually. Right as
Halloween.
Right as they're about to hit. Yeah. This
an offensive costume happens and divides the party.
A Trudeau moment.
Actually, an incident. The party is divided because at one point, James Reeds, the Irishman, mm-hmm. aforementioned, his wagon
I had
gets
a bad vibe about him for some reason.
His wagon gets tangled with another guy's wagon, the Graves family.
You and got your happens. Horse and my oxen.
Yeah. They get tangled, and it leads to a dispute that involves James killing a Teamster. Once again, these Teamsters.
Jesus either, Christ,
I mean, they got no families,
he's
you know?
Making an example out of him.
With a knife, he ends up in this big conversation stabbing a Teamster to death.
Wow.
Yeah. The result of this is after some, you know, he's got his family there to defend him. After some pushback, he is banished from this party.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on ahead without them. No oxen, just...
He goes on ahead.
So he goes on. I mean, he's
so gonna just
mean,
like
he's
it,
gonna
he
keep
go.
Going.
Well, yeah, he's gonna keep going. He can go much faster because he's not hauling all this equipment behind him. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, all this life saving equipment.
Right. Well, there's this one guy. So there's this one guy, a German immigrant named Louis Kiesberg, who I just want to introduce here because he comes up later, who strongly suggests that they hang James Reed.
Oh, Keys gonna do him like that?
this is just to point out that no one likes Louis Kiesberg to begin with.
Okay.
And it's going to be exacerbated by all the cannibalism that's coming up in a second. Okay. Anyways, James Reed goes on ahead, actually makes it to California by November.
Okay.
Wow.
Which is more than it can be said for the rest of his family and the rest of the party.
So making it to California, you mean he survives this journey?
He goes on ahead of them. Like, he's not being encumbered by these wagons. He makes it to the Sacramento Valley before anybody else.
They presumably, by banishing him and family not going with him at all, presumably it seemed more of like a death sentence than helpful, right? But... in practicality, it probably evened out or maybe even helped.
Well, he was able to get through and not get stranded in the mountains. Here's the thing. His whole family gets stranded in the mountains.
God, he makes it to Sacramento.
His whole party.
No one's wanted to get to Sacramento.
I wish my family
more
was
than
called.
My ex-girlfriend and these people.
I'm sorry I can't bring up the fertile valley of Central California without you experiencing trauma.
Get off of California's jock, dude. Okay. It sucks there.
Yeah, if only your ex had starved in the mountains. That's what I said to try to.
Then who outgrew who?
Do you remember after it happened? I said that to you to try to soothe you, and you were like, "Joey, stop making everything about the Donner Party. Yeah. It doesn't help me."
I was like, "It's nice what you're trying to do, but it's not working."
So yeah, they only start heading into the mountains.
Cosmo just couldn't stop podcasting to just pet one of the dicks on the table.
I forgot about it.
But you wanted to make sure it didn't feel forgotten.
I started trying to like remember what it felt like.
Is that what you're doing to your penis right now under the table too? You just want to remember what
hand
your
check.
Own, you want to remember what your own penis feels like?
Yeah, I'm like comparing. It's like, pretty close.
Mine's less purple than that, I guess.
Not by much.
They don't get into the mountains until November. And they're at a place in the Sierras called Truckee Lake. Although later, this is called Donner Lake. And now it's a fun little ski town. It's like a quirky little ski town where everything's Donner family themed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. Who headed that up and no pushback?
I like to think that they were doing it as they were stranded in the mountains there. They're like, I see the T-bar going up here.
Dude, if my grisly death becomes kitsch, I'm going to be so mad.
So yeah, basically what happens is it fucking snows once they get into the mountains, and they are immediately snowbound in these locations. And actually, the Donner family is the last to get into the mountains because on All Hallows Eve, one of their wheels breaks, and they have to spend extra couple of days fixing it.
On All Hallows?
Yeah, and also because George Donner cuts his hand open while fixing a wheel. Yeah, pretty bad.
Ow!
He's like,
But they smelled that sweet, sweet blood.
He tastes it and says, this gives me an idea.
I know they're not cannibals yet, but they gotta be pretty hungry, right?
They have plenty of provisions, and there are also places around them that could stock them up, you know?
Okay.
Like, it's the frontier, but there are people that live out in Nevada, you know? But once you get into the mountains, and once it starts snowing, once they get 5 feet of snow in a single night, you're fucked. All right, so what we have here is 81 people camped around a lake, and more than half of these people are children, or they're under 18 years old. Oh yeah, it's actually pretty grisly, this whole story. A lot of kids up in these mountains.
I did listen to a podcast about this, and they were very much
better,
like,
than this?
It was, you know, different. And they very much were like, this is the most brutal thing we've ever talked about.
I still think the No Cussing Club is worse.
No, that's brutal.
Do people not normally make this trip with this many children? Is it kind of like,
it's a family thing. Like, you bring your kids along, and, you know, you just had to have a lot of kids back then.
So is the real issue that this isn't that crazy of a thing they did, but they took this shortcut that lost them a lot of time, and now they're behind schedule, and you can't be behind schedule.
It just broke bad for them. Like, even if it had snowed a little in the mountains that November, they would have been fine. Oh, it snowed a lot. Like, they could not move anything through these mountains. So you end up having 81 people stuck around this lake in Central California for the better part of 4 months.
Wow.
Well, I mean, rescue expeditions start in February, just because nothing can, like, pass into the mountains before then.
Meanwhile, Native Americans are just, like, riding by, like, waving.
Yeah. Stop.
They're having a fun little snowy day.
Yeah. They've thrown snowballs. They got hot chocolate parkas.
No, there were not people living up in these mountains at this time because of the brutal conditions that are known to kill human beings.
Sure.
They were accompanied by two native guides, though, who joined them in Nevada, or they were Californians, but Luis and Salvador, get to them in just a second. So, we've got these people camping out here for the better part of 4 months. They send out a party in December, the snowshoe party, the Forlorn Hope party, which I'm sure is not
Forlorn
the team.
Hope.
That is not the team name they selected when they set out.
No, for sure.
they were like, we're the mongooses.
We're the red tigers. Forlorn Hope would look good on the side of a boat, I think.
Oh, I would hate that.
I would break some champagne against that.
I would love to be a guy that owned a boat, but then all the, like, branding of the boat was, like, really grim.
The SS Discriminator.
the Vengeful Sea. Yeah. I have a scooter called the Vengeful Sea. We're going to have margaritas on it.
That sounds fun.
There's a snowshoe party sets up, and this snowshoe party is, by all accounts, the first party into the whole cannibalism thing.
Oh.
They are a bit
peckish, these ones.
This is mostly men are on this party.
Sick.
Yeah, they're having a little boys' trip. They're like, dude, we've been camped out here. We gotta get away from our wives.
1847 is the year for the fellas.
So all these fellas set out with their snowshoes with starvation rations. I don't even know what that is. I don't know what I would consider a starvation ration. I think a starvation ration for me is probably like a good meal for these people.
Is it just enough to keep you alive?
That's
like, just
the idea.
A little,
yeah.
Like, okay. A very small amount of food, but it's probably like nuts.
Right, because however long it will take them to get to safety, it's going to take even longer to get back, so they have to leave the majority of the food with the families, right?
Oh, my Lord, yeah.
So these guys set out, and they are the first people to kind of broach the topic of cannibalism.
Wow.
Yeah, you guys hungry? He's like, I could eat.
Yeah, that was how I got, well, what do you...
I had a big lunch, but I'm kind of getting hungry.
I mean, you got to think, at a certain point, it becomes a little conspiratorial, right? Where you're like... Well, who do you think?
Well, you can't eat nobody. Somebody's got to be the one.
It is like voting in Survivor. It's like somebody does have to go home.
Probably the most annoying person, right?
Well, what they end up doing is they they start pretty openly talking about eating Luis and Salvador, the two natives.
Oh.
Right. Right. And those guys kind of pick up on it pretty quickly. They realize that all the white guys are looking at them like giant steaks with shoes on.
They keep pointing at them and rubbing their stomachs.
Yeah, like, I don't think they understand our language.
Yummy, yummy.
Yeah, no.
So those guys bolt off ahead. They like run off away from the party.
Good for that.
They're like, damn. We were going to eat those guys.
Shoot.
They end up the day after Christmas of 1846 eating the first
Christmas.
Guy. They do a little brick of their own. Yeah,
12 a.m.
And they eat one of the members of their party who has dropped dead at that point.
Oh, okay. Oh, didn't kill
of
him. There's no one. No one is.
Chili.
What?
Being, of being chilly.
Of being chilly.
Of hungry. A classic case of this sucks ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck y'all. I'm out. Peace. Yeah, I mean, I'm out.
It really just is who is in the better shape. Because eventually, for one thing, you're going snow blind.
Yeah.
Because no one has invented cool shades.
God, dude.
Because when it's not blizzarding on you, the sun is beating down on this white snow and making you lose your
There's
vision.
There's like a thousand things killing them at a time.
So at one point, one of the guys just like strips off all his clothes and runs out into the snowbanks, which is what you do when you have hypothermia.
Oh, paradoxical undressing. That's what they call that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was also the name of my rap album from 1993.
They also call it, I might have learned this from the podcast about this, but they
was this last podcast.
It was
our rivals.
They also call it terminal burrowing when you start like sometimes people like start digging holes when they're like dying of hypothermia to like
I can see that
makes a little more sense.
I can see Adam getting into digging holes.
Yeah, I'll badger you.
Someone sent me a video one time and was of a guy just like recreationally digging a hole and was like, Adam does this, right?
Yeah, I kind
of. You have the energy of like, guys, don't call me for the next 4 hours. I'll be at the hole.
I kind of get the appeal of digging a big hole.
I grew up next to, we called it the three hole or the five holes because there was this like woods. There were like three main holes. And then I think we renamed because we found two more. Just big holes in the woods. Like
that's
the size of this room. It was odd.
The size of this room.
It felt like maybe a like 30 years before a construction project started and they abandoned it. But we would just hang out in the holes.
That's so cool. That's so sick. The size of this room. I mean, it must have been like construction, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're just little,
and
like,
then you found two. Like, how big is this space that you kids are wandering about?
I kind of grew up outside of town. I grew up in an ambiguous outside of town.
Yeah, Adam's from the wrong side of the tracks.
You gave your mom's address one time, and now you're keeping it this this vague.
Well, he gave his mom's zip code at one point. We were like, bleep that out, but we'll say the name of the town he's from all the time, and it's not a problem.
If you guys want to see the holes, it was at 3213 Freeway Court.
In McFarland, Wisconsin?
I don't know if it's McFarland or technically Blooming Grove.
Well, anyways, wherever you are in this country, drive out, see these holes. They're calling it the Grand Canyon of the Midwest.
The five holes.
The five holes that Adam and his friends grew up.
Which are
probably much smaller than you remember them.
Oh, I'm sure. I bet they're just as wet and soggy. I bet they're just as gross.
I love this. Do you think you could see them from Google Earth?
I don't know. Could you see this room from Google Earth?
Well, not you can see the building.
Maybe.
See, you know, you act all unimpressed by old, and then you hear about a big one, and you're like, whoa!
Cosmo's picturing an old-growth forest with, like, beams of light and, like, Bambi and some sort of siren woman calling his name.
I'm very much picturing, like, boonies just in between people's houses.
Okay. Really, it's just, like, 5 12-year-old children, like, oversharing something they heard, like, learning what cum is or something.
This is Stand By Me, dude. You went out to the woods and found 5 giant holes. And I like to imagine that one of you had to like run into town to tell the others, like, come see what I found.
This was 150 yards from my house.
Okay. Well,
so it wasn't, it wasn't that magical.
Oh, wow.
Look, I liked my childhood.
Look. All right. So as the snowshoe party is making its way out to California, James Reed has already been there.
Oh, he's just got his feet up on the table reading the paper.
Well, he's kind of like doing it when, you know, when you don't move Sonic the Hedgehog, he starts tapping his foot, looking at his wrist. Where are those guys?
Yeah, I do now.
So James Reed is kind of like trying to get the word out of like, hey, my whole family is dying in the mountains if anyone wants to help me. But there is a shortage of able-bodied men.
Oh, dude.
Imagine that.
Yeah, that, my time to shine.
Yeah, as soon as my friends move, all of a sudden I'm not an able-bodied man anymore. I start wearing a lot of sundresses and coughing. And
well, I want a goddamn definition of able-bodied.
Yeah.
Am I making the cut?
Everybody was fighting in the Mexican-American War.
I see.
Which was, there was some territory being fought over down south. And actually, I don't know how this happens. This seems like a thing that you wouldn't do if your family was dying in the mountains. James Reed does fight in one battle of the Mexican-American War while he's waiting for his family.
Oh my God.
In January of 1847.
If you got time to lean, you got time to shoot.
Well, did he wake up and a battle was happening outside?
It was in Santa Clara, which is like kind of near where he would have been, in the bay.
He's like, where the watermelon grows?
You know what? I think I will fight today.
I just need something to take my mind off my family that's dying. Just a bizarre thing that he does. But after this battle is won, suddenly there's more room for people to be like, hey, there's like a bunch of people dying in the mountains if we want to go and try to get them some help. And obviously, the snow was keeping them out.
Yeah.
You couldn't go up there in January.
It's just as hard to get them as it is for them to come back.
Exactly. But eventually, James Reed gets these rescue parties going.
Do they have fun names?
The Forlorn Hope.
No, they don't get cool nicknames.
The Let Me Hug My Wife and Kids Again party.
I'm voting down ticket in the Let Me Hug My Wife and Kids Again party this election. This November, we need to elect the Let Me Hug My Wife and Kids Again party.
Is this a Polaroid of your family tied up in a warehouse?
Oh my God. The first relief expedition sets out in early February. This does not involve James Reed, who is still recuperating, but he's on like the second one, which is following shortly after. Because here's the thing. It's just as hard to get all these fucking supplies up to these people, right? And it's just, they get up there and they see just how bad these people have been living. Because they run out of the provisions that they brought up to the mountains pretty soon into December.
Empty pizza boxes, just...
Yeah. You live like this?
Yeah.
They
bongs, dirty bongs laying out.
I just
fucking make something of yourself.
Can we just put the empties in the recycling?
After they eat all the provisions, after they eat all the animals, after they have boiled the roofs of the wagons, which were made out of leather.
You know, they've eaten their clothes, they've eaten their shoes.
Yeah. They're like... There's perfectly good meat in that corpse pile over there.
It probably tastes a lot better than my shoes did.
I don't know. Do you guys think human meat tastes better than shoes?
Absolutely. I don't know. Shoes are more well-seasoned.
It's meat, though. Meat tastes good.
All right, so Cosmo's strongly pro cannibal.
I don't know. I don't want to eat people, but you're crazy if you think that like our meat would be so like worse than other animals.
I think there's a psychological. I bet the second person you Unlike eat is shoes. A lot better than a shoe.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the first person you eat is a lot worse.
I don't know though, dude. Because when you're really hungry, foods taste pretty good.
Nah, I don't think it's shoes. I'm with Cosmo. Sorry.
Shoes taste bad, dude.
All right.
You should know that, you bootlicker.
All right. The first relief gets up there and they're just like, another grim detail. Mary Donner, one of the children of the two Donner, of the
Mary Donner, fuck Donner, eat Donner. I wish I didn't do that. I was trying to trying to indicate what
you're fine. Everyone saw what you were trying to do. You're okay.
Mary Donner had such frostbitten feet that she accidentally burned them in a fire because she just couldn't.
Oh.
She just couldn't feel them, and then they were like, "Are we cooking someone?"
Oh,
yeah. So these people are in bad, bad condition. It's yet still this first relief party is able to get 21 people, mostly children, out of the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And as they're coming down is actually as the second relief party is coming, which includes James Reed. So James Reed meets his family as he's going up the mountain, as they're coming down.
Oh, what a moment.
They're the one of only two families in this whole caravan to be entirely intact at the end of this experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's like, wow, you guys look different.
I fought in a war.
Yeah.
You did a what? His wife was really mad at him.
Yeah.
But yeah, though, I mean, it's just these people are losing their minds. They're like, oh, some angels have come to rescue us. One of the rescuers proposed to 13-year-old Virginia Reed on the way down the mountain.
What'd she say?
She said no.
Damn.
But I love that this guy was like, dude, do you think there will be girls up there?
Yeah, you got a spit game anywhere, dude. Okay, I do have to say, though, that is one of the scummiest moves of all time.
And they're going to love us for it because we're going to be the guys that show up with food. We're basically
angry. You don't think firemen, after people fall on that big trampoline, carry them to the truck and go, so like, what are you doing after this? It is horrible.
She is 13 years old.
Dear God. 1946, that's probably marriageable. God, but dude. Yeah, that's
and also the best.
But she's seen as much shit as like a 40-year-old.
Yeah. She's aged.
She's seen as much shit as like a divorcee.
But also the fact that she said no is also wonderful.
Yeah, I love.
I wouldn't marry you if I was starving on a mountain eating my parents.
I wouldn't marry you if I didn't know better.
There was also a 13-year-old boy, one of the stepchildren of the younger Donner brother, who when they get into the Sacramento area, gets into the food pantry and gorges himself to death.
Whoa! I mean, that can happen.
There's
not a World War II stories of that.
I'd probably.
Yes, there you go.
Oh, for sure. Dude.
There's no way I would.
I can't help myself around treats.
I should probably stop because I'll die.
Yeah,
but
I can't just have one.
Is that a first meal problem, or is it like a first week, or like
when you are like
decompression?
Super, I mean, when people like do like extreme fasts and stuff, you have to like lull back in. Like you do like bone broth and like crackers.
Yeah,
and like slowly start doing solid food because you can really fuck yourself up. Yeah.
Yeah, but if I'd have been eating only like shoes and my parents for a couple
we're going
of months,
to China One Buffet, dude.
Yeah. Ooh, buffet.
See, yeah, sometimes
the China One Buffet in France.
Yeah. I surprised myself with my words.
So the second relief that is coming down as the first relief is leaving, coming up in later February here, this is where they get the mountain men to help them.
Ooh, they seem like a strong, like good choice.
Really, we should have gotten the mountain men to begin with. There's this one guy, John Turner, fucking legend, carries 4 weak children down the mountain by carrying 2 at a time. Dropping them, going back like the farmer, the chicken, the bag of grain.
Yeah, but how many strong children could he carry? Wow, that's pretty. Yeah. That's pretty heroic.
It's pretty good.
A 13-year-old should marry this guy.
That's an additional 17 rescued there in the second relief.
Nice.
Okay, so we're pushing 40, almost half.
Yeah, that's 38 right there. That's pretty. That's some pretty good numbers right there. I'll tell you that much. The third relief is not as lucky. So obviously, a lot of people had already died at this point.
Yeah.
The third relief was led by a man called William Eddy, who actually had come back successfully on the snowshoe party.
Okay.
Remember,
okay.
Forlorn Hope? A couple of them eventually did make it through.
And then came back. Or yes. He like got help and came back.
In the third, he was the third in the third relief party. Because he was like, none of you guys rescued my kids while you were up there?
What the fuck?
He was pretty pissed about how none of his family had come back, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, how did they like, maybe you don't know this, but like when the relief people were there, how did they like decide who was gonna go? It sounded like they went kids first.
No, I mean it's like moving with you, Cosmo. It seems like just whatever people wanted to carry first. I'll get the guitar stand and the
I see.
I'll get these.
I don't remember it that way, pal.
I'll get these 2 cans of Bud Light. Can you get my armoire?
I was thirsty. My armoire.
Yeah,
I have a lot of cool stuff.
William Eddy of the third relief, from the snowshoe party, he arrives being like, honey, I'm home. And his wife is long dead.
Nice.
Mm.
Excellent.
He's like, honey, why aren't you jumping up happy to see me?
Well,
honey,
there wasn't much of a wife to to be found because when he gets up there, Louis Kiesberg, remember this guy?
Oh.
Louis Kiesberg.
I just had done the funniest thing.
Louis Kiesberg comes up, fingers pressed together, like, so I kind of ate your wife.
Und will never believe what I have done.
I've been a very bad German boy.
I picture like an Augustus Gloop kind of character.
Yeah, the classic German glutton.
Yeah.
So William Eddy finds out that Kiesberg had eaten his wife.
And specifically Kiesberg.
Kiesberg
he ate a whole lady.
It was a boy for a while, but you know. And
but like, so he was like.
How long does the lady keep?
It individually eating her, he would like that. There wasn't that just seems weird to me. Did everyone get their own person?
Oh, what often they would do is they would trade the corpses so that you didn't have to eat your own.
Yeah, that, I mean, that does make sense.
But Kiesberg had only come in with like his wife and their one child. So, you know, he didn't have a lot of resources to trade.
So they just gave him one lady and they're just like, but that's all you get.
Stretch it.
Yeah.
Make her laugh.
Yeah.
Some guy goes their whole lives with only one lady to eat.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky man.
So Kiesberg is like, I ate your wife. And William Eddy says, damn, if I see you in California, I will kill you.
That's
fair.
Which I am no
pretty reasonable.
Land. I mean,
I think that's fair. And he's not just killing him right then. He's like, you know what? Stay away.
Well, that's specifically. So this last relief only brings five people back with that.
I said the same thing to Adam after he ate my leftovers.
But he also said California. I have no immediate plans to be there.
So this third relief only brings back five people. Kiesberg stays behind because he's like, vibes are off. I feel like I should stick around here
maybe
a little bit longer.
Maybe we could go to like Oregon or like stay in Nevada maybe.
Tamsin Donner. Donner, Dahmer, you
see,
get
that's,
it.
I feel like that's part of why this is so famous.
That feels like a Freudian slip, right? Yeah.
Tamsin Donner is one of the few survivors that are found on the third relief expedition, who is like, I'm not coming back with you because George was dying and she refused to leave his side.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Not strong enough to come back on that expedition, so she just stayed with him.
And George being her father.
Yeah, George being her husband.
Oh, her husband.
Yes.
Oh. Damn.
Respect.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Dude, you need a lady like that.
Right.
On the mountain.
I'm looking for
a lady to accompany me to the mountain.
To shepherd me to death's door.
So they bring back five more people. Those are mostly older teenagers and stuff at that
point. By now, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everyone else is... died.
Do they all have the same bad attitude that other teens have?
I don't want to go back to the mountain. I want to go back to Illinois.
Dad would never make me die on the mountain.
All my friends are in Illinois. None of them had to eat their relatives. So third expedition goes down with five people. A fourth relief comes in April. And the only...
A couple months... later?
At this point, that's like a month later, because the third one is in March April. It just takes a fucking long time.
Of course.
I
mean, of course. But
the fourth relief comes up in April, and the only person they find up there is Louis Kiesberg, surrounded...
fat as a goddamn pig.
So this is kind of... This is like the story that they tell about him, which is obviously libelous, at least to some extent, is that he was just like surrounded by mutilated corpses that he'd been cooking and eating.
Ooh, and this is good.
Wearing a crown of bones.
Right. It's even to the extent where they were like, we might be prosecuting this guy for the murder of Tamsin Donner. And he was just like, she died. They all fucking died. So according to Lewis, after George Donner dies, Tamsin makes her way up the mile away to where Lewis is camped and is like, husband's dead. What do you want to do? And then she dies there that night.
Yeah. You guys, I want to quick extend this. If I die, you guys can eat me.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I plan on it.
It'd be kind of nice. It'd be a kind of nice way to, you know. Be like, oh, keep me with you for...
Yeah, and then I can absorb your memories and your powers.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm taking...
Only if I eat your brain,
and my perversions.
I mean, I'm taking your kidney.
Okay. Which one? One of them's better than the other.
Can I just say it? I think cannibalism, if you got it, is not so big deal. I don't even, I'll even go further. I would never knowingly eat a person, but I think that if someone was like, fucking Ashton Kutcher, we got your ass, you just ate a guy, I'd be like, I am not that, I'm fine with that. I think I could just like wake up the next day and do what I was going to do.
Really? Okay. I think I'd talk about it for at least a week.
I definitely make a therapy. Bit about it. I definitely make a great stand-up comedy bit about it. I definitely, yeah. I'd be like, have you seen that guy who does that bit about how he got tricked into eating people? The cannibal comic himself, Joey Minersky.
So I ate a guy. You think you guys would have to be like, you'd be like in the shower, like cold shower for 12 hours? Like,
I mean, you're putting this as though this is some weird, like, yeah, no, I would. No, I think it would really fuck me up.
All right, I'm in between here. I don't think I'd be thinking about their life and like, that's fucked up that they died and I ate them. I'd just be like, I think about my tummy a lot.
Yeah. I would definitely be very mad at Ashton Kutcher. Yeah, but that's pretty normal for me. Yeah. I'm mad at him most days.
I would need to wait to see when they aired the episode how I looked, but I cut it.
That's true. If it's really funny.
Yeah.
Oh, if that could...
And I'm a good sport. It can't be like the Zach Braff one where he beats up the kid.
No, I mean, the worst case scenario is you get punked into eating a person, and then that gets like cut for time, and you just find yourself on like the DVD extras of Punked season 9.
I didn't even get my 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, you don't even get like, ugh.
Just like one weird Vice article about you.
Right. Yeah. The Donners, these guys were famous. These guys are famous hundreds of years later, right? Yeah. If I don't even get on MTV2,
it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it.
Well, but was this podcast worth it?
I don't know.
You weigh in.
Are we done?
The jury is out.
You tell me, Mr. Information Boy.
Guilty.
No, keep going.
48 out of 87 survived. Donner children are orphaned. They get taken in by the Reeds and a bunch of other people. James Reeds makes a lot of money on the gold rush, baby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 48 is like really not that bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? You're right. This is not a big
How many
deal.
People normally died on these things?
Probably not that many.
But like some, right?
Yeah, no, like two or three.
Wait, this was a half?
Less
than half.
Yeah, it is less than half. You know what? You've got a real sunny disposition about you today, and I can't half
full, dude.
I'm half full of my
aunt.
Yeah.
Kiesberg actually sued some journalists for defamation. Because they were writing about how he was, how he preferred eating human beings over the animals, which had begun to thaw.
Damn, do we think that's true?
Yeah, I mean,
I am curious.
Wait, they were cooking, right? Or no?
What?
I picture them cooking.
Yeah, they were cooking.
I think. Yeah, like, so why would they could have thawed the animals anyway? Well, the animals were
buried in snow is the idea, and that animals had started as the snow thawed, more animals were accessible.
Okay,
he continued to eat the humans.
All right. How much of the money that was made in the gold rush made this story? How much of this narrative is affected by the rich Donner?
I do think that the fact that the gold rush happened literally within the next year of this was probably why the story became so popular. Like, oh, you don't want it. Everyone's coming over to California all of a sudden, and there's this story like, don't be like the Donners, don't go through the Sierras.
It's also interesting that like the history of this has probably gotten largely from like two families.
Yeah, well, that's,
so I bet they like there's a lot of people backing like the same interest.
That's why there's not a lot of like good information about the literal details of the cannibalism. Yeah. Is because, for one thing, people don't want to talk about that. A lot of the people that did the cannibalism were too young to really have reasonable accounts. And then just that combination of things, they were separate parties. Like, there are camps there that they're like, no cannibalism happened in there. Like, people made the claim that no cannibalism happened there, but then how? You know, how did you make it through without eating something?
In fact, you're eating your yummy Aunt Bertha.
Right. Yeah, your delicious, delicious aunt. The actual story is hard to put together, but they were eating each other up there. They can tell you that much.
Yeah.
I like this quote from Mary Graves, one of the survivors, and one of the only families to get out of there intact, whose takeaway, she was 13.
Ironic family to make it through.
Yeah.
The Graves.
Incredible.
Sometimes you Life's can tell fun. That God does God. Have a sense yeah. of humor.
God was smiling on the Donner.
God did a lot of wordplay. God does a lot of
God's got kind of
English wordplay.
God has a dry sense of humor.
Like Fawlty Towers.
I like this quote from her. I will now give you some good and friendly advice. Stay at home. You're in a good place where if you are sick, you are not in danger of starving to death. Which I love.
I want that on a doormat.
Yeah, can we stow that on a pillow for our cat?
It's a weird stay. I mean, you guys just moved. You know how annoying it is to move.
That's horrible.
Imagine if you had to eat Henry on the way in.
I don't know.
You could have.
You didn't help me carry all my furniture for free. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the American Journal of Losers.
You somehow made it through.
Uh-huh.
We'll probably be back next week. We're trying our best. It's summer, though.
We
still got the live show coming up. No additional details.
No, we have a date.
It's actually more additional details. Did you believe me? You're so stupid.
It's August.
Saturday the 13th.
The Saturday the 13th.
Or if that's not the 13th, it is the Saturday for sure.
Saturday the 13th, and it's at 5 p.m.
Camp Triple A
2022. Kind of early.
Never heard of.
An early show. A great day.
A matinee.
In Madison, Wisconsin. Yeah. It's part of Madison
Comedy.
Bring
your grandparents to the matinee.
Please bring your I am asking one thing of our listeners. Please bring your grandparents to a live podcast recording and don't tell them what any of those words mean.
No.
Don't tell them what that is.
Well, we appreciate you listening. We're finding it. We're getting it back. God, we look so good at the beach, though.
We should have taken pictures.
Love is going to tear this podcast apart any day now.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, God.
Cosmo, real quick before would you rather eat boogers or scabs?
Boogers.
Yeah, okay, that's the right answer.
Scabs all the way. Bye.
Bye.